Brad Locke.
And I'm Dalton Milton.
And you're listening to Prep Rally, a podcast covering high school sports in Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Welcome into a very special Halloween episode of the Prep Rally podcast. Spooky edition.
Very, very spooky.
It's not really going to be spooky. You want spooky, go watch our football video show where you have to actually look at us and not just listen to us.
Mm-hmm.
That could be scary.
That's rough.
That could be scary. I'm Brad. That's Dalton over there. And we are here to talk high school sports as we are every Wednesday. Thanks for tuning in. We got, it's that time of year, Dalton. We just got so much stuff going on. We got football playoffs getting cranked up. You got cross country state meet this weekend. We've got basketball starting. The regular season starts this week. All kinds of stuff going on, Dalton. So we're going to cover a lot of bases here on the program. First, I want to remind you that this show can be found in iTunes or any of your podcast apps, or you can stream it online at preprally.djournal.com. And follow us on Twitter, please, at DJournalPreps. Well, Dalton, before we get into some of these matchups this weekend on the football field, let's take a quick look back at some key games from Week 11, a week that some teams wrapped up the regular season, 2, 3, and 4A, and they start playoffs this week. 1, 5, and 6A teams have one more week of regular season play. Shannon and Pontotoc was the game of the week, Dalton, and I guess in a way lived up to the billing. It was close. Not really the result I expected.
A shootout.
Me too. I certainly didn't expect Pontotoc to get shut out.
Mm-hmm.
Shannon wins 14-0 to win its first division title in 10 years. So they take the 2-4A crown there from Pontotoc. Both were undefeated in division going into that game. And, you know, we talk about Shannon's offense all the time, Dalton, but, you know, apparently they can play some defense too.
Yeah, I mean, well, they held Gabe Harmon to 60 rushing yards. That doesn't happen often.
And no, it doesn't.
Held Justin Carter, who's having a fantastic year. You had a story about him last week.
Sure did.
Only 71 yards passing. You know, he had that receiving core over there. It's just fantastic. That's hard to believe.
It really is. It really is. And, you know, and Pontotoc's defense played pretty well, too, obviously. Mm-hmm. Shannon has so many playmakers on offense, but including the quarterback Jordan Gilliam. I think in the second half or fourth quarter, Dalton, they put one of their receivers in a quarterback to kind of run the wildcat, didn't they?
Yeah, well, I saw it in the very first game of the season when they played Corinth, but I really thought that it was just – I saw it in the Jamboree and then the first game, but in the Jamboree, Jordan Gilliam got hurt.
Right.
So I was like, oh, they're just putting a wildcat quarterback in. They did it again the next week, and I was like, oh, well, you know, whatever. It started raining.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, well, they just can't throw the ball in the rain. And then all of a sudden I realize now that this is like a weekly thing they do.
Yeah, Eric Rogers is the guy.
He's a receiver. He can play it, too. He's good.
Yeah, he's really good. Rogers ended up with 106 yards on the ground for Shannon that game. And Centwali White, I think that's how you say it, had a good game as well. So this is a team that can run it. They can throw it. I mean, they're going to be dangerous in the playoffs.
Well, I'm impressed with, you know, just them in general with how good they were in division play. You know, they won 7 in a row to end the season.
Right.
Their closest game wasn't but 14 points. That was last week. Every other game was like 24 points right there.
And yeah, they were scoring.
They ran through everybody.
They scored, I think, 50-plus in four straight games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but, you know, they had to win a different way, and they did. So, congrats to Shannon. Horn Lake and Tupelo Dalton, this one went about like we expected. Horn Lake, I mean, that defense is probably has to be the best in the state.
Yeah.
And they ended up beating Tupelo 35-10. And you know, talking about guys that don't get shut down often, Jaquarius Williams, the Tupelo running back, didn't have much luck, did he?
No, I think he ended up with less than 10 yards. I don't know the exact number, but I would say probably halfway through the – or maybe halfway through the third quarter, he had negative rushing yards.
Man.
And no, it started off really great for Tupelo. It couldn't have started any better for him. Jordan Jernigan brought a kickoff return back to about the 30, and then two plays later, they had about a 25-yard pass and then a touchdown run, go up 7-0 in the first minute. And then I think I don't remember if Horn Lake scored on the next possession or if they just had punted a few times and the Horn Lake tied it up, but Horn Lake had a 14-7 lead at one time, and Tupelo was about to score and tie it up, and receiver tripped on the 10-yard line, and then they got held to a field goal It was 14-10, and then Horn Lake went right before the half. There was about a minute left in the half. Went up 21-10, and then it was all Horn Lake after that.
Yeah.
Defense shut down Tupelo. Tupelo only had the ball for, I think, 4 minutes in the second half.
Yeah.
Horn Lake had it for, it was like 19 minutes and 57 seconds or something. Their last drive was
– yeah.
They ended the game on a drive. It was like 10 minutes and 47 seconds or something like
good
that.
Heavens.
It was just crazy.
And Horn Lake wins the division. And you know, we've talked all year about Starkville and how good that team is and kind of a favorite in 6A. And Starkville has lost to Northwest Rankin in division. And now Horn Lake, I mean, Dalton, well, you've seen them. They're a contender too, aren't they?
Yeah, they are they're as good as any team I think I've seen ever in high school.
Wow.
And they are really good. They say that defense, I mean, overall on the team, I think there's nine kids with Division I athletes on it.
Jeez.
And I think six of them have SEC offers. And, like, the front four on their defensive line, the four defensive linemen are all four-star recruits or something like that. It's crazy how good they were.
That's insane, man.
It was literally watching a college football team play against a really, really good high school team.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Tupelo, you know, they are a good high school team. They pass the eye test when they get off the bus. Mm-hmm. I mean, they look better than most teams. But
yeah, I'm excited because it looked like when I was looking at the playoff scenarios, it looked like we could possibly get a Horn Lake start rule in the second round.
Ooh,
which
fun
that's
times.
Not fair because that's gonna be a really really good game if they both end up winning their first round game, of course.
And who knows? But so Horn Lake, really good. We'll talk more about Tupelo in a minute. One more game to talk about from last week, the one I was at. Olive Branch was at Lafayette, big 1-5A showdown. Kind of went about how I expected, except that I did not expect Lafayette's rushing attack to get shut down the way it did. I mean, you know, they've got those three guys, the quarterback Randy Anderson and the running backs Jamie Shaw and Lance Stewart. I've talked about them a lot. You know, they're all right around 1,000 yards rushing. Last week they combined, I think, for 135 is what I had between the three of them. That's not much for them at all. That's a bad game for them. Olive Branch really did a good job of just, you know, plugging the holes and not letting them break off big runs, and so, you know, credit to them. But it was still, you know, and despite that, Lafayette had a great chance to win, or at least to put themselves in position to win. I mean, the final was 24-21. It was a crazy finish, Dalton. Let's see if I can walk through it and get everything right. Lafayette was kind of in control there in the second half. In fact, they were up 21-10 going into the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
But Olive Branch scored a pair of touchdowns. They went ahead with 4:21 left in the game. Their lead running back, Dakota Braswell, had a great game. He got injured, though, in the fourth quarter, so they couldn't use him the rest of the way. So they're trying to rally without him. But Gary Banks took over, and he scored that touchdown. He ended up with a good game. And so Lafayette's down 24-21, get the ball back, can't move it down the field very far. Olive Branch gets it back on the – I can't even remember now if it was turnover on downs or a punt. Probably turnover on downs by that point in the game. And they're just basically running out the clock. That's all they got to do is run out the clock, and then they fumble it.
Mm-hmm.
And Lafayette gets it back.
Of course they do.
And Lafayette gets it back with just over a minute to go, back in its own territory around its – gosh, I guess it was the 25-30-yard line. And they get all the way down to the 2. Anderson completed a long pass down to the 2-yard line with 3 seconds left. And they rushed downfield, didn't have any timeouts. They were going to line up and run a play as soon as the clock restarted. But then Olive Branch called a timeout to get the defense ready, I guess. And then Lafayette decides they're going to kick it and go into overtime. You know, could see either decision. I mean, I could see going either way on that one. So they got a 19-yard field goal. That's a chip shot. Got a good kicker. Olive Branch jumps off sides on the snap. The kick goes through. You know, people didn't initially hear the whistle, but in high school, if somebody jumps off sides, play's dead.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see that in college or pro. So they decline the penalty because they're already at the 2-yard line. Kick it again. He shanks it. It's a bit of a high snap, and Olive Branch escapes with the win. I don't like that rule,
Dalton.
It's
the worst rule in high school football.
I mean, Michael Fair, the coach, was not happy about that either because basically Olive Branch – Lafayette got punished for Olive Branch committing a penalty.
It happened in the state championship. You know, I don't know how long ago it was. It's in the last decade. I think it might have been Olive Branch that did it that time too. It was a Peddle and somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
Peddle hit like a 40-plus yard field goal, and the other team jumped off sides. They pushed. They went, took it 5 yards closer, and it got blocked. I think, and they ended up losing the state championship because of it.
Yeah, I don't know why they do that. I mean, if there's no contact made with an offensive player, then I think they should just let the play go.
Mm-hmm.
I know I bet a lot of coaches would like to see that rule too, because Lafayette could have sent that game into overtime.
If I'm not mistaken, what is Lafayette right now? 7-3, I think. And
I've got the standings pulled up here, I believe. But Lafayette is 7-3. Yes, 4-2 in division.
And they lost all three of their games on some sort of kick.
Did they?
They lost to Oxford.
They lost to West Point, but not on a – well, they lost
– missed extra point.
That's right. They had a missed extra point against West Point.
And then they lost to Oxford on a game-winning field goal and then lost on a missed field goal to Lafayette – to Olive Branch.
That is crazy.
That's rough.
That is rough, man. I think West Point, it was a blocked extra point is what it was.
Gotcha.
But, yeah. Yeah, man, that's tough. Special teams.
Mm-hmm.
Can make the difference. So Lafayette with a tough loss there, but still going to be in the playoffs. And Olive Branch grabs that number two spot in the division behind West Point. Okay, let's look ahead to week 12. Got some playoff games to talk about, Dalton. We got Aberdeen at Boonville. Boonville 10-0, Division 1-3A champ, having a great year with Dallas Gamble and guys like Davian Price and William Jackson on defense, and you know, Mike Maddox returned to the sidelines last week. Really happy to see that. The head coach has been battling an illness since before the season. He was able to coach a handful of games from the press box, but last week was his first chance to get back to the sidelines, and now hoping he'll be able to do that this week as well. As they host Aberdeen, a team with one of the best players in the area, Dalton and Fred Fields. But he could use some more help offensively if they're going to have a chance against Boonville.
Well, the way I look at it is I don't know how good Boonville's defensive line is. I mean, they're 10-0. I'm sure it's
pretty
doing its job.
They're usually pretty solid up front, yeah. A good linebacker core, especially. William Jackson and Imani Grizzard and those guys.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think Boonville's just going to be a little too much, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
We mentioned this in the video show as well, and I kept mentioning the Aberdeen-Houston game because it's the only one I've seen. But Jalen May back there at quarterback had a big night. He had three touchdowns that were over 60 yards, all called back because of holding calls.
That's right.
So there's going to be some times where Dallas Gamble, Cameron Young, Davian Price, some of those speedsters can break open a big play on the Aberdeen defense. But for the most part, the Aberdeen defense is going to match them pretty well. I mean, they're a pretty quick little defense, but
yeah.
The biggest problem I feel is going to be the Aberdeen offensive line.
Yeah. And Boonville's offensive line will probably be able to control things pretty well
They're pretty large. I saw one of them.
Congrats
to him. Shout out to him. One of them, I think Reed Davis committed to a Division I school the other day.
Oh, cool.
So congrats to him.
Nice.
But I don't. I think they have one of the largest offensive lines in 3A. So
yeah, they're pretty big up front. So yeah, and that's the game I will be at. South Pontotoc at North Pontotoc, another 3A playoff game. This should be a fun one, Dalton. A rematch from the regular season. These are two big rivals in 3A there, and North Pontotoc won the first meeting 29-14. And, both of these teams have some really good playmakers. South Pontotoc, of course, has Eddie Ivey, running back. He's been good for them for a long time. Had a good game against North the first time out. I think he had 194 yards rushing, but they kept him out of the end zone, which is huge. And then, of course, North Pontotoc has Corley Hooper, who has accounted for most of their touchdowns, either through the air or on the ground, I think 35 in all.
And nobody's kept him out of the end zone.
No, I don't think so. And he's a good linebacker as well, so he'll help to try to contain Ivy. Yeah, and I've been trying to find out, Dalton. I haven't yet. I know maybe you're trying to find out too, because you are doing a preview story on it. I don't know if they've ever met in the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. I've been lazy this week. I haven't gotten my preview stuff done yet. But
I would say busy, not lazy.
Yeah, uh-huh. I'm hoping to find that out probably today, this afternoon. And might try to get a hold of Brian Sutton over there, who's been at North Pontotoc for a while, see if they've ever played. I know they meet up almost every year, so.
Yeah, they do. Looking forward to seeing how that one goes. A regular season game that's big, Dalton, is Smithville at Biggersville. These teams both unbeaten in Division 1-1A. The winner of this game wins the division, gets the number one seed. Biggersville having a historic season, best season in program history, looking for its first division title in program history, 11-0. Smithville, is Smithville. They're right there like they are pretty much every year in the mix. Well-coached Michael Campbell. I think this is one of those teams, Smithville, that's greater than the sum of its parts and got some really good players, but they find a way to get it done most every week.
I'm interested to see how they're going to respond. Last week they lost to Nanawai. Was it 55-12, which no disrespect to Smithville. Nanawai is really, really good.
Yeah.
both the other two losses they have on the season, they came back with a win. So I'm interested, you know, Michael Campbell's getting them in your mind, right? You know, they lose a game, just bounce back the next week.
Yeah, and I think that game not being a division game, they kind of knew how good that team they were facing. Yeah. And I'm going to talk to Michael hopefully later today. So I don't even know how much he played his starters because I'm sure he wanted to make sure everybody was ready to go and healthy for this game, which is really huge. But then you look at Biggersville, and, I mean, Quaymon Davis, man, just good luck trying to stop that guy. Yeah. 40 touchdowns. He scored him about four or five different ways.
Yeah, well, it looked like Okolona shut him down a little bit. You know, they were up 21-6, and we were all like, oh, well, okay. And then all of a sudden, Quaymon Davis breaks off like five touchdowns to end the game. It's just like, yeah, no one stopped him yet. So.
Yeah, that kid's insane. And he's got some very good complimentary players around him, like Quan Mays and Goldman Butler and the quarterback Quentin Knight. So
he sure does.
Yeah, and that defense giving up just 9 points a game.
Yeah, this is I'm so excited for this one. This is going to be a good one.
It is. I wish I could go. I was trying to cover it, but the things just worked out that I can't. But Melissa Metter will be there to cover it for us.
I think we're just gonna not cover Tupelo this week. I'll just cover them.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I could just skip the Aberdeen-Boonville game. We just triple-team this Bickersville game. One other regular season game to talk about. Tupelo said I'd talk about them some more, and I will. Tupelo visiting Oxford, though. So what's the playoff seeding situation for the Golden Wave?
It can be really simple, but then if some chaos happens, it can get really complicated.
Chaos.
It looks like Oxford's going to be the 2 seed, South Panola the 3 seed, and Tupelo the 4 seed.
Yeah, Oxford's 5-1, South Panola and Tupelo both 4-2. South Panola has the tiebreaker on Tupelo.
The only way that chaos can happen is if Tupelo defeats Oxford. Mm-hmm. And then South Panola loses to DeSoto Central, I think.
The first one's possible. The second one, I don't think is.
Yeah, I don't think it is either. South Panola is a lot better than DeSoto Central from whenever I saw them. And then, the Tupelo-Oxford. So it could end up meaning something, but really in all, it's just...
Well, now, if Tupelo beats Oxford, okay, then they're 4-2. I mean, they're 5-2. Oxford's 5-2. South Panola will obviously be 5-2. But South Panola beat Oxford, correct?
No,
Oxford beat South Panola, which would be Tupelo, which would have beaten Oxford. So then you got the 3-way tie, and they all beat each other.
Yeah.
Points.
Yeah, points. Right? I saw it on Twitter. Ben Michael tweeted out, Oxford is plus 12 right now.
Mm-hmm.
South Panola is 0, and then Tupelo is minus 12. I think because of the loss to – because I think it's just like a 3-way tie. Like, Oxford beat South Panola by more than 12, and then – South Panola beat Tupelo more than 12, so it's like 12-0, negative 12.
This makes my head hurt. I was told there would be no math, Dalton.
I don't, like I said, I think the only way Tupelo can get out of that 4 spot is if DeSoto Central beats South Panola.
Probably so.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, let's move on to some hoopage, Dalton. The season starts, Thursday for some teams. Others,
get out there and watch some teams tomorrow.
Yeah, you might get out there and watch somebody. Got the Hound Dog Classic this weekend in Tupelo. They host this every year, Saturday and Tuesday. So, yeah, it's a two-day event, but over the course of several days. So, Saturday, let me see here, Dalton, I had the schedule, and then I didn't have it in front of me. Now I have it. Day one, got some good games here, Dalton, especially this girls' game. Pontotoc and Stark. Well, Stark will the reigning 6A champ. I think Pontotoc's going to be a pretty good 4A team. Don't know how well they can hang with Starkville, but it'd be interesting to see. And then Tupelo's boys and girls both play Center Hill that night. Tuesday's schedule. Here's the game I want to see, Dalton. And I might end up going to it. I don't know. Lafayette and Shannon girls.
That'd be a good one.
4 o'clock at Tupelo High. And Tupelo's boys and girls will play that day as well. Hey, Ripley's boys, they're a good team, usually.
Who do they play?
Aberdeen.
That might not be bad.
Aberdeen's usually good. I think they've been a little bit down lately.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so pretty good lineup there. And just a handful. And not everybody starts Thursday. Some start Saturday. Some don't start till next week. So.
Yeah, and then you can't be too sure of all these games right now because a lot of teams still have football players playing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just kind of a
– Yeah, I mean, I've already seen at least one game that got moved, like a Tremont Faulkner has gotten moved to the to the 10th. So, yeah, you know, that's the thing about this time of year. The basketball schedule can be very can shift around a lot.
Yeah, we got to just take it in stride for the first 2 or 3 weeks here.
Yeah, just as long as we don't show up to a gym and there's no one there, I'm good. Mm-hmm. That's happened to me before.
Hasn't happened to me yet. So.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, you should pick up a copy of Thursday's Journal, by the way, or look online, because we're going to have a basketball preview section. We've done that before. Didn't do it last year. Going to do it this year. Going to have a couple of player features. Going to have stories on our number one teams, or we'll have a preseason rankings. So you'll just have to wait and see who we ranked number one for boys and girls. We'll have players to watch. So look for that. John Pitts did a good job putting that together. I've already seen the proof pages. That, again, in Thursday's journal. Cross country, real quick, Dalton. The state meet is Saturday and Monday. 1A, 3A, 5A Saturday, 2-4-6 on Monday. Down in Clinton, TCPS boys and girls, you know, among the favorite area teams, as you'd expect. The boys have won two in a row and are led by Brock Kelly, who I had a story on in Wednesday's journal. Brock was actually on his way to winning the individual title last year when he passed out. He fell down and passed out. He got dehydrated, is what it turned out, and it was a hot and humid day down there, and it was just a tough break for him. But he has come back strong. He's the best runner in 1A this year. He has the second best time in the state, period, regardless of classification. The only kid ahead of him is he runs for a 5A school. So, yeah, impressive. And TCPS as a whole is impressive. So, anyway, check out that story. Brock will be favored to win that race, like I said. And one other guy to keep an eye on, Dylan Allen. Of course, you should know that name if you know anything about cross country around here. The Morville senior, he's just been dominant for a long time. But been kind of a tough season for him. He got sick, tried to come back too quick. He had bronchitis, and he just kind of stayed sick for about 6 weeks there. He only raced, he only competed in six races. He usually does about a dozen. He won four of them, and he's been well for about, he told me, about 3 weeks. So he may not be at his best, but he is so good that, you know, Dylan Allen at 80 to 90% can probably still beat most people.
Yeah.
So he'll go for a third consecutive state title.
Well, hopefully for him, he's back to 100.
Yeah, 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 certainly.
Hopefully, well, not hopefully for the other kids. No, the other kids
probably,
for him.
Other kids probably hope he isn't. But so a little cross country update there for you. Okay. This segment we debuted last week, shout outs. Just some quick hits on some things that we can't really spend a lot of time on because the show is. Already 20 plus minutes again. Tupelo boys swimming team winning the state title last week, Dalton. 12 in a row for the Golden Wave swimmers.
There is a story in the paper. Go look it up online.
It's also online.
Mm-hmm.
DJournal.com. Volleyball, Hickory Flat reached the Class 1 state semifinals last week. Just the program's only in its third year and already reached the semifinals. So congrats to that program there, and they've got a bright future. And soccer season, lest we forget, that also starts this week, Dalton. I had a preview on Tupelo's boys and girls in the Wednesday Journal, so go check that out. Tupelo's boys, 17-0 last year in the regular season, lost in the first round of the playoffs to Northwest Rankin, 1-0. Excuse me, 1-0. And as you can see in the story, they are motivated by that loss, Dalton. Okay. Athletes of the Week, let's wrap it up with that. Every week we honor a male and female athlete for their accomplishments. Female Athlete of the Week, Mia Card, or maybe it's Maya Card. Forgive me, young Miss Card, if I'm mispronouncing your name, but cross-country runner for Baldwin. She was the winner of the Division 1-2A meet on Monday, had a time of 19 minutes, 42 seconds. Second-place finisher was a minute 50 behind her. That's not bad.
No, she dusted them.
Had nearly 2 minutes on the second place finisher. So congrats to her. Male Athlete of the Week, Hunter Jones, the quarterback for Amory. This is efficient right here, Dalton. This is Phil Simms in the Super Bowl efficient. 21 of 25, 268 yards and a touchdown passing and rushing. He had 59 yards and two scores as Amory beat Morville. And Amory going into the playoffs, yeah, the 4A playoffs.
Congrats to Drew Brees. I mean, Hunter Jones right there.
Yeah, right.
With that passing stat.
Nice. Okay, so that's it for this episode of Prep Rally, coming to you every Wednesday in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. Follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps. Dalton's on there at dlmiddleton8. I am at Brad Locke. And we will be back next week talking more high school sports. See you then.